How are my levels?
They're, I kind of went and tuned levels a little bit beforehand, but...
You assume that I would be speaking at the same volume as you. Are you sadly mistaken?
Well, you know what? That's what Levelator is for.
Ah, yes.
It's, that is a magical piece of software. Actually, it's kind of, it's the podcaster's best friend, because you just feed it an audio stream and it normalizes and it does, a bunch of other stuff and does a little bit of compression. And so, you know, you get at the end of it, just a nice clean waveform. Well, welcome back to another episode of Scouting Stuff You Should Know. This is episode 13, I believe. And tonight it's all Canadian. It's like, I've never understood the whole Canadian bacon thing. We just call that ham.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what prompted that, but okay, yeah, yes, that is what we call it.
No, I just, for some reason, I was just like, what's on a Canadian pizza? And then I'm just like, well, I guess it depends where you go.
Canadian bacon.
Yeah, no, but we don't call it, that's bacon.
It's from a Canadian pig.
Yes, or something like that. Although we do have pea meal.
Yes, and that is quite tasty.
It is. It is very good. Mm-hmm. And it's, I guess, technically a form of bacon, although it is more ham-like in appearance.
Yes. Mm. Deli meat-esque. Yes. Goes on a sandwich.
Anyways.
Sandwiches.
That introduction aside, we're not actually talking about cooking tonight because, unfortunately, I was not able to arrange some time with another of our number who I really feel is just, you know, a necessity for at least the first episode in which we talk about cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about something else tonight. Yeah. And it is the all-Canadian episode in that Brian was also unable to join us. The poor man is on a business trip.
So it's down to you and I, is it?
Yes. So I'm Scouter Ken.
And I'm Scouter Colin.
And we are going to be talking tonight about, well, you know what? I actually need to take an opportunity to walk back something that I had said earlier, because I can't remember which episode it was, but some time ago I was talking about the Scouts Canada's new Canadian Path program and the changes that were made to how earning badges is viewed. Because like previously, I mean, certainly, you know, my recollection of scouting was that there was a very strong emphasis on, you know, just earning badges,
mm-hmm.
as many as you can and as many different topics as you can.
Yeah. Experience different things, get out, try something new, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that Canadian Path is trying to completely get away from that, but they are trying to, and this is, I think, the point that I had contested previously, they are trying to get away from the idea of badges as a progression mechanic for the program.
So historically, what would be, I guess for us, would be the BP Woodsman and Chevrons from back when you and I were in the scouting program. You would earn kind of like your base badge and then essentially level up after a certain criteria was met. You would get another chevron. And I believe there was the bronze, silver, or was it red, silver, and gold chevrons?
I at least remember those three. Yes.
Yeah. And then you could get your Chief Scout Award. That was how that played out.
Yeah.
But since then, there's been other mechanics as well. It's the same but different. They have a Voyager Scout, Pathfinder Scout.
Yeah, and now, like under Canadian Path, they have what are called the SPICES. And I do actually think that's a bit of an unfortunate acronym, but
SPICES
stands for, and I quote,
pepper. Human.
Yes, it does not stand for salt, pepper, whatever begins with I. No, it stands for social, physical, intellectual, character, emotional, and spiritual. These are basically what under the Canadian Path program, these are kind of the areas in which we hope to see scouts progress. We hope to see scouts develop and mature in these categories in different ways. And, well, you know, there's kind of this document, badges do not equal personal, or what's the title here? Yeah, badges does not equal personal progression. And I'll just read a little excerpt from it. For a long time now, our members have been focused on earning badges and using badges as a means of judging personal progression. This is not an ideal approach. What we're really after is to ensure that scouts are engaged in activities that have them learn by doing. Adventures provide learning opportunities and help youth develop in the SPICES. One of the goals of the Canadian Path is to disassociate badges from personal progression, as the two have become synonymous over the years. Think of how a 10-year-old has grown since joining Cub Scouts 2 years earlier. This is the personal journey, the personal progression. By taking part in a number of adventures, the youth develops skills and acquires knowledge. Scouting is not about earning a collection of badges as a group. Each young person is different, and each is on a unique journey. This is what Lord Baden-Powell referred to in Aids to Scout Mastership when he spoke of individual training as education. This is the Canadian Path's approach to personal progression, and it is an approach advocated by the World Organization of the Scouting Movement. So,
when we went through scouting, we also had similar categories to which SPICE refers to.
Well, yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways,
it's the same,
but it's presenting it in a slightly different fashion, right?
Yes, because we did use, and it was used historically as a means of achievement, accomplishment, a benchmark for where you are as within the scouting program.
Yeah. What kind of triggered my rethink on this? And actually, it's funny too, because then at breakfast today, of all people, my mother-in-law said something else that made me further adjust my thoughts. So bear with me through this. This is going to meander a little bit. Among the many and varied podcasts that I listen to, and I'll try and remember to include a link in the show notes to this one, it is a Catholic podcast by a couple. They live in Georgia, and they kind of just talk about their life and their faith, but they're both heavily involved with the scouting movement, with Boy Scouts of America. And it was actually a segment where they were talking about how their sons have really taken an interest in filmmaking, but the husband of the pair was talking about how his eldest son was working on a particular clip from this little movie that they had shot. Hear one kid on the monitor. We'll see if I have to run here in a minute. They were working on this one little clip that the kid had shot, but he had brought his laptop along to a merit badge seminar, to a Boy Scouts merit badge seminar. And like he had finished his work, his badge work early on. So he just, you know, flipped open his laptop and was working on the video while his dad, you know, one of the scout leaders, was still working with other members of the troop. And a couple kids came by, saw what he was working on, were kind of interested. And this one kid quipped, you know, what merit badge are you working on? And the comment from the husband was to the effect of, you know, I should finish this. The kids are just like, well, I'm not, this is what I like doing. Like, I'm just having fun here. And the comment from the husband was then, you know, like, that's what merit badges should really be about. It should be about things that, you know, you're interested in, you know, you're passionate about. And then my mother-in-law this morning too made the point that, because I was kind of running some of these ideas by her, she made the point too that, you know, it should also be an opportunity for youth to, and Colin, you alluded to this as well just now, to not just to stick within their comfort zones and get recognition for the things they're comfortable with, but to also pick something that they want to develop aptitude with and then challenge themselves to develop a certain level of proficiency with that.
Yeah, I think the scouting program should be about, you know, pushing boundaries, you know, getting you a little bit outside your comfort zone. I mean, you don't want to try and fail so spectacularly that you get disenfranchised with the whole process and then never want to go to scouts again or be involved in any way. But that being said, you should also feel the need to stretch out and try something different.
Yeah. And I guess where Canadian Path is coming from here, and the more I think about it, I think the more I start to agree with them, is that it's not that they don't want youth to demonstrate these aptitudes. It's not that they don't want youth to, you know, get some level of recognition for what they're good at. It's not that they don't want youth to pick new things and challenge themselves to become proficient in them or to develop skill in them. It's that they don't want the little circular badge that you get as a result of doing that to be how you evaluate, or sort of the main method by which, you know, you evaluate how well you're doing in the scouting program. Or they don't want that to be how leaders evaluate how well a youth is doing in the scouting program. They want that to be part of the program, but they want the overall picture of how a youth is doing in the program to be a function not of number of badges earned or type of badges earned, but on growth of character overall, right? And I mean,
creating a better citizen, if you will.
Yeah. So, you know, some of that is going to be tied to skills growth. It is. You know, some of that is going to be tied to learning new things or learning how to take one's already existing gifts and talents and shape them towards, you know, something that, yeah, I mean, is is even better. But ultimately, it's that growth of character, that growth towards, you know, becoming, yes, a good citizen of the...
A global citizen, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah.
That should be the real metric for how a scout is doing in the program. So, you know, it's I mean, if a kid's lining up all of his outdoor activity badges, that's not to say that's a bad thing. But is he progressing in his, you know, is he actually just ticking off check boxes, or is he actually developing physically? You know, is he actually challenging himself and, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for here is, but, you know, like, is he developing physically as a person? Same thing, you know, like, I mean, you can get all the communications related badges, but are you developing socially?
Good communication skills?
Yes.
Well, that's always a challenge too, right? Because you don't necessarily have a set. Leaders are not necessarily authorities in their field, right?
This is true. And I know that's kind of what you wanted to talk about, and that's actually probably a really good segue into it, because...
Well, I don't want to steal your thunder if you've got more points to make.
No, I think that's actually a really natural segue there, okay. Because it's... That is the other side of it, right? Is that, I mean, as a leader, you know, you are going to be called upon to obviously evaluate a student's satisfaction of, you know, a particular badge criteria. But there are badges that aren't necessarily to everyone's expertise.
I'm not a physical educator. I don't do phys ed. I belong to the Husky Gentlemen Club. You know, we don't do physical activity all that well.
Well, you do swim. I mean, if a kid was going for a swimming badge, okay. I'm sure you'd be able to to more than adequately evaluate that.
Yeah, but. I can do a kilometer in 20 minutes. So I feel that that is a very acceptable speed for me.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I got... I didn't quite go for my bronze cross, but I, you know, was like one tier below that.
The almost bronze cross.
Yeah. Bronze cross.
The copper cross?
No, it was called bronze medallion.
Oh.
Okay. We don't, I don't know if we still use that designation, but that's basically, if you get your bronze cross, you can be a lifeguard.
Okay? Oh, okay.
So bronze medallion is like the tier immediately below that.
Yeah. Almost, but not quite.
It's you got like a year to go.
Yeah.
So
you need to swim more lengths.
Yeah, basically, in the same amount of time. Mm. And so I mean, like you get to it's a fairly high level of swimming aptitude, not in a competitive sense. You know, like I mean, I don't think I could do racing swimming ever. It's more just, you know, you. Know how to be in the water. You know how to show someone else to be in the water. You know how to get someone out of the water. You're very comfortable in the water. And so, I mean, again, so like
for my perspective, for being a leader, I could probably, I wouldn't say well educate, but I know enough about swimming that I could probably evaluate, someone's, abilities in the water as far as swimming goes. And award a swimming badge.
And myself as well. I would feel comfortable doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But, or football, because, you know, I played football for a few years. And I mean, you know, I don't know if there is a football related badge though, but I mean, I guess
was team sport.
Yeah. There is like a sporting related badge. Yeah. So if a kid was doing curling. Football, yeah, there you go. softball, but like soccer, I know next to nothing about. Mm. you know, it's, or like, I mean, I would feel very comfortable evaluating a kid for, say, a computer-related badge.
Do you think that the game plan, though, for the Canadian Path or badge programs in general is kind of basing it on the fact that you have a leadership team of, you know, four or five people, and between those four or five people, there is enough skill set to evaluate a child's development?
I think that's the ideal. And I mean, if I were looking at like my own leadership team, I actually would think that we would be at or very near to that ideal, you know, because I mean, ideally you should be bringing, you should have leaders that do have sort of this broad range and depth of experience, right? People from different backgrounds with different levels of education, work in different fields, because like as not, the scouting program does try and cover a lot of different stuff, or it does try to, you know, recognize a lot of different, you know, the badge program does cover a lot of different subject matter. Mm-hmm. And ideally, again, with this idea that, you know, you want kids to find and be recognized for their aptitudes, and then also, you know, pick challenges that interest them and develop new skills and proficiencies that are to their interest. So you do have to be able to cater to a really broad variety of subject matter. And ideally, your leadership team should have expertise across much of that.
Mm-hmm. But so you can run into the situation, though, where you are in a leadership role where you don't have that support. I think that's something you have to be mindful of as you're going through the badge program. I don't think it's a make or break for any group in particular, but it certainly adds a unique challenge. You may have to, go out into the parents of the group in order to find people that are, skilled.
Yep. Or, like, I mean, take something like archery, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I'm fairly comfortable with a bow,
yep.
But in the past, not this year, but in the past, you know, I have had leaders who I don't know if they'd ever pick up anything that could reasonably be construed as a weapon.
Mm.
And so it's just like, you know, like if you have a person like that, how does that person evaluate, say, archery? But then again, too, when you, at least at least here, you know, if you go and do archery, you're probably going to the scout shop. I think there might be some private ranges too, but you're probably going to the scout shop where the scout's archery range is located. You're probably going to have a range master there.
Yep.
So, you know, even if it's, you know, not necessarily apparent, but there is going to be someone, at least, you know, within this area, within this council, who has real demonstrated proficiency and training as an archer.
Yes.
That would also be another good resource to lean on. But certainly, you know, also, I mean, it's always good to involve the parents where you can, especially if a parent has some expertise to lend. And you know what?
Rook yourself a leader.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not a bad springboard to, you know, maybe having that conversation down the road. Well, a little bit of silence to edit out. But anyways, I mean, kind of coming back to the start, like I know I sort of had expressed my skepticism about this idea of decoupling badges from progression, but the more I think about it and, you know, the more I've heard other people offer their opinions on it, I think I do start to understand what Canadian Path is driving at. And I think I actually find I agree with it because...
Well, I think philosophically, it's for sure, I agree with it.
Yeah, I mean... And again, like, you don't want to not to knock earning badges at all. Like, I mean, if you have the scout who just is dead set on just, you know, filling up his uniform with as many badges as he can, that's not necessarily, you know, you probably don't want to discourage that. The question maybe to ask as he, or in the Canadian context, she continues down that path is, you know, is this person growing as a person, or are they just running down a series of checklists? Hmm. You know, are they just crossing off the badges for the sake of crossing off the badges? Or is it the case that as they gain these badges, as they take on these challenges, something about them is also changing? They're coming out of it a little different than they were going in. And at the same time, you know, too, if you have a scout who's maybe not so keen on getting just every single badge in the book, but has, you know, really strong aptitudes or has expressed, you know, desires to take on very particular challenges, like, then can you shepherd that scout into, you know, into taking on those challenges and getting those badges. And then, you know, making sure that everyone, you as the leader, the scout as the scout, are very happy with that person's progress, especially if, as a result of taking on those challenges, they too grow as a person, right? Maybe they only have 10 badges on their uniform instead of 40, but if they've grown as a person by a significant margin, like, that's still a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I think you are always going to have the youth that will, you know, go into a project headlong. And you will also have youth that will, you know, will be tentative and shy about whatever it is they're doing. Now, some of that is fostered through parental involvement. So, if a child is working towards a badge, it's not necessarily the child that's working towards the badge. It's the parent. It happens. You know, normally you would want the child to have that drive to complete the challenges, complete the requirements, that kind of thing. But in a lot of instances, there is some parent involvement. And if, you know, a parent is very gung-ho about the badge program, maybe historically they were in the scouting movement.
Yep.
And they, you know, they got their, for Canada, it's that Chief Scout Award, you know, that top honor, and they want their kid to have it, and they will push them.
That's true too.
To do that, it may not be what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, you may get just kind of a reluctant just going along with it, as opposed to somebody who's genuinely after getting the Chief Scout Award.
Yeah. And I mean, that's another, like, you're right there too, because that does happen. And I think that's going to be, you know, if that is happening, that's a conversation that needs to happen. You know, where basically you as the scout leader do kind of need to step in and say, like, we don't want to push people away from the program, and that's what's going to happen if we continue down this path. Not that we don't want your son, or in this Canadian case, daughter, to be earning badges, but we don't want them, you know, it's not just badges qua badges. You're not just earning them for the sake of earning them and getting this award that maybe isn't necessarily what the scout in question necessarily aspires to, regardless of whatever their parents managed to achieve, right? In my mind, this is actually almost related to, you know, and I mean, I can even remember feeling this way during like my second year of scouts, where it's just like, I don't really feel like earning badges right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I had a lot of push from my folks to do it, and it's not, you know, I did.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of that situation where you have the parent really pushing hard, and then the other situation where you have the scout who just can't or doesn't want to get locked into any particular part of the badge program. Mm-hmm. In some ways, there's an overlap there, because in both cases, the response really has to be, in some respect, there is a bit of a conversation that needs to happen with the parents, right? Because it could be too much encouragement on the one hand and not enough encouragement on the other hand. Mm-hmm. But there's also a conversation that needs to happen with the scout. And that conversation is just simply, you know, like, okay, what do you want to do? Right? Like, what do you like to do? That is part of it, right? Because, hey, we probably have a badge for that anyways.
Yeah.
And is there anything you want to try and do?
And this might come down to some child psychology as well. As far as some kids in that age bracket are just like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And they just shut down.
True.
So, there may be a little bit of work involved to try and get that kind of information.
Well, and I think that's probably why the other part of what the Canadian Path document was talking about there is that meetings really shouldn't be just or all or even substantially necessarily about making sure that the kids are satisfying badge requirements. The meetings should be about adventure, about just doing stuff, you know. And there's also an emphasis on youth leadership too, right? Like, you know, you want input from the youth to determine what activities they pursue, what challenges they take on as a group. And it should really just be adventure for its own sake. Mm-hmm. You know, it should really just be challenge for its own sake. And then you as the leader watching this happen, hopefully can start to identify. It's like, okay, hey, look, that kid who like never says anything, never does anything, is just killing it on this activity.
Well,
like, there's a focus that we can put here.
Yeah. And I agree with the sentiment of getting out and having the adventures and that kind of thing. But there also has to be a base level of skill before you, run out and have those adventures. And I think that's what like the requirements for the badges are trying to present is like,
maybe,
is development of skills. So you're not going to go on, if you are new into scouts, and you're not going to take a group of scouts on a week long backpacking trip in the backcountry as their first activity without some demonstration of knowledge.
True. But at the same time, I mean, that can still be done in, you know, a context of just, we're going to learn this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then for the scouts that want to turn it into a badge, great, go for it, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you can just do knife safety, mm-hmm. and there's a badge for that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just, we're talking here about knife safety because this knife is a valuable tool, is going to serve you well in every camp and activity you're on. Mm-hmm. Let's learn about how to use it safely. Let's learn about what you can and can't do with it.
Right. But I'm saying, like, if they say for the Canadian path that there should be a you should demonstrate a growth mm-hmm. in these categories. Mm-hmm. If they don't, and I'm certain there will be a set of guidelines that are printed that
staged release of materials is really killing me. I got to admit.
Well, yeah, that being said, so historically the badge program and the way it was all laid out was that you built those skills, like your first year scouts built those skills.
Yeah.
Your third year scouts were the guys that were running out and having the adventures, but they were also teaching the first year scouts that, some of those skill sets. So there is a bit of a trade-off there.
Yeah. I think though the point is that, you know, if a kid's learning stuff like knife safety, learning how to pitch a tent, how to survive in the woods, how to not just, you know, survive, but, you know, how to find that, you know, measure of comfort that's essential to doing well in a camp, right?
Or read a map.
Yeah, or like read a map or all of that stuff.
Find an address.
Exactly.
You know,
all of that stuff. If a scout's learning to do those things, that's mm-hmm. a really wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. But if a scout doesn't necessarily want to put a badge on his uniform that says, you know, I have my compass merit badge, mm-hmm. but still has a wonderfully innate sense of direction at the end of it, great. You know, like you've still hit that kid still has progressed, you know, right. If there isn't a badge on his uniform that is saying, I have done this thing. So now you would hope, I mean, you would probably still hope that, you know, he would go for that badge, but if he doesn't want to and he still has the skill set at the end of it, it's a win.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I don't know. The more we talk about this, the more mixed feelings I have about how this, and see, you've changed your tune going more towards the Canadian path. I'm more
driving
like
driving you away.
I'm more of a traditionalist here. I actually think that the badge program is a good way of doing it. Now, unfortunately, if the youth doesn't want to pull the trigger and finish the badge requirements, those badge requirements are important for skill development.
Yeah, I mean,
point A to point B kind
exactly.
of thing, right?
And I mean, again, like even in the verbiage, you know, in the document there, like it's not that they want to do away with badges. Mm-hmm. It's more that, you know, they don't want the little circle or the little triangle to be the principal emphasis, right? They want it to be on the development. And if there's a way to reward, you know, if there's a way to mark that off with a little badge, mm-hmm. sure, that's great. But is the kid actually developing? That's you know, that's the win that they're looking for there.
Right. I think some of that stems to, I think part of or the leaders who dole out badges just on a whim mm-hmm. have maybe given an argument for the spice program.
Like, I mean, I know with my beavers, beavers don't really have badges yet.
Right.
That's apparently still coming. But like, I mean, I'll hand out campfire blanket badges after mm-hmm. we do activities, right?
The big crests, yeah.
But, you know, it's almost like, and I mean, like the point is well taken. Like, you know, before you haul a bunch of scouts out into the backcountry for a week, yeah, they do need to know how to pitch a tent. They do need to know the basics of how to prepare their own food. They do need to know how to pack a pack. They know how to...
What constitutes good clothing to take
They need to know what to wear, what not to wear, no jeans, things like that.
Yeah.
They need to,
footwear.
Yeah, they need
foot care.
Some comfort level with a knife. Yeah. They need to know how to start a fire. You know, there are basic skills, that scout craft stuff that, you know, we do still talk about and put a lot of emphasis on. And those are things that, you know, as a scoutmaster, you should be teaching, right? You know, you should be teaching the kids that. And hopefully the kids are recognizing, oh, hey, like, I can get a badge out of this. But again, if they're thinking primarily about, hey, I can get a badge out of this, it would be better if they were thinking, oh, okay, that's how I start a fire.
I think also we're looking at it from two different perspectives. I am looking at it from a leadership perspective of how do you measure a child's development?
Yeah.
I think you're looking at it from the youth. Do I want to have the badge or do I even care about this?
Well, yeah. But it's funny because like this document was addressed to the leader and it's just simply saying, you know, and again, not saying don't, you know, it's not trying to say, well, we don't need badges anymore. That's not the message it's trying to convey. It's just more this, again, it's just more, if kids are earning badges, it's a really great thing. Just don't use that as your principal method of evaluating how a scout's doing in the program.
Fair enough.
And I think I find in general that I do agree with that, you know.
And I had said earlier that in principle, it does sound like, you know, you don't want to be forcing a child to earn a badge.
Exactly. You know,
but that being said, they should be developing a skill set and a proficiency.
I mean, you would, you would hope that your scouts are interested in the badge program as, you know, an aspect of scouting, definitely. You would hope that they do take on the challenge of earning this badge or that badge, you know, again, based on where their aptitudes lie, what their interests are.
Right.
Along with some basics. Like, I mean, first aid's a really good one to have, the knife safety stuff.
Those are skills that help you in your day-to-day life.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're just, you know, if each meeting is just, okay, well, we're going to make sure that we have everything ticked off for this badge.
Oh yeah.
Well, no. Like that's not, just have the challenge, have the learning, have the adventure. And then, you know, I mean, for the most part, put it to the youth. And if they are just, okay, hey, by the way, I guess I can get this badge now, can't I? Yes, you can. And congratulations. But you know, it's more the actual challenge and the actual adventure and even just the actual process of learning that's, I think, that's getting the emphasis here.
Right. You
know? And all right. That's not necessarily and I mean, I almost like how we do it in the Beaver program because there aren't badges to hand out right now. So it really just is. It's like, hey, kids, you know
there's event crests that you hand out.
Exactly.
Did you show up? Yes.
Yeah. I can, you know, say, hey, you came out to the Beaver Buggy races? Well, cool. I have a Beaver Buggy campfire blanket badge.
Yeah.
Have that. But, you know, some stuff I don't even have crests like that for, right? Like, I mean, we just, we marched the kids out to White Mud Park and we did a fire lighting. You know, we had a bunch of different kinds of tinder and we had a couple of different kinds of strikers and we had matches and we had that funky paracord that has the one, we had the, that funky paracord that has the, it's like if you just cut it off, there's like one red string running through it and you can pull that out and it's still good as paracord afterwards, but that one red string happens to be a fuse. You can like light something. Yeah. So we had a lot of fun with that because I mean, it was just, you know, it's not like anybody was earning their campfire badge. We don't have one in Beavers.
No,
we just had the Beavers out and we're just like, hey, look, like here's how you light a fire.
Yeah. Here's some basic, here's some basic skills so that when you get into Cubs, you kind of have a basic understanding of how a fire goes together.
And like tomorrow, actually, with the Beavers on Monday, we're going to be talking about emergency preparedness. Mm-hmm. And that big tub just over there is full of...
That our listeners can totally see.
Yeah, well...
That big tub.
We're sitting in my basement, and over to our collective left is a rather large Rubbermaid tub, and it's got a bunch of different things in it. It's got glow sticks, it's got water purification tablets, mm-hmm. it's got little wind-up flashlights, it's got those emergency ponchos and blankets.
Wow.
Yep. And it's got waterproof bags to hold it all. And then out in the garage, I've got a big bag of tinder. Okay. It just like, it's basically balled up cotton.
I was going to say dryer lint.
It's cotton balls and petroleum jelly basically is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Except that it's like,
fire starters.
That's how you could make the homemade version of it. And this is kind of more the pro grade stuff.
Yeah.
But anyways, so, you know, what we're going to send the kids home with is basically these little starter survival kits.
Nice.
Just because, and, you know, it's just with the simple message, just like, look, like, you know, if you're going to go out for a longer hike or something, just mm-hmm. throw this in your backpack, you know, just mm-hmm. keep it on you. And as you move through the scouting program, you know, and you, because, I mean, I'm giving the kids tinder, but it's really going to be up to the parents to decide when to give them matches or anything else that could actually light it. Let's face it, these are 5 to 7 year old kids, you know, but if they stick with the program, they go through Cubs, things like that, mm-hmm. then as they start to learn, you know, more about fire safety, more about how to, you know, light a fire and mm-hmm. maintain a fire and extinguish a fire, well, then maybe, you know, they're going to hit a point at which, you know, yeah, okay, here.
You're like, responsible enough to
canister of matches.
Have these things in your survival kit. Yeah,
now you can add this or a small knife mm-hmm. or things like that. Like it's designed to just be a basis for them to then grow. And as their skill level grows, they mm-hmm. can add more equipment to the kit. At least that was the intent, right?
Yep.
But it's just, you know. Or like, you know, the board games here, right? Like, I mean, it was just, we picked a challenge and we went for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nobody's going to get a merit badge. That said, you know, they are all going to get
the copy.
Yeah, they're going to get a copy of the board games to take home.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, for those of you who are listening, if you want to see how those turned out, I did upload pictures to the Facebook page. So facebook.com/scoutingstuffpodcast. And I think it also hit Twitter, at SSYSK podcast. So you can see pictures of the two games that the Beaver Scouts designed.
Cause our group has two beaver colonies that meet on different nights.
Yes, we do.
As such, they had the ability to do this project and, apparently they came up with completely different ideas, which is, pretty cool in and of itself.
Yeah. I mean, like the Monday night game. Just reaching for it here. So the Monday night game is called Find the Earth. And like, it's got a picture of the Earth on the front and a starry backdrop that I drew. And, cause like, I mean, when we did the initial design, like it was just, we were sketching stuff down on paper. And I mean, a lot of it was very hasty because the kids were just barraging me with all mm-hmm. these ideas. And, you know, mm-hmm. it was a really great back and forth session of just, you know, discussing what should be and shouldn't be in the game or what the rules should be.
Brainstorming that old chestnut.
Yeah. And so from about mid-March to the end of March, I kind of took it on myself to take all of that and make better art for it. I think I've talked about this before.
I know you've made mention in previous podcasts that
so
this was a project that was working on being worked on in the background.
Yep. So I finished the artwork up and, you know, I mean, so this game, Find the Earth, is basically, if you've played Candyland, mm-hmm. which is, you know, fairly common kids game that I never knew about growing up, but apparently it's been around for years and years and years. It kind of plays similar to that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you just, although we did come up with rules for like a short game and then a longer version of the game. So the short game, you're just racing all the way to Earth. And in the longer game, you got to visit all the planets and then get back to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it's, you know, it's a fun little game. You know, you're just racing around this spirally path. There are different ways to like jump ahead mm-hmm. significantly.
But I think a good takeaway from that is that these youth came up with the idea and the rules and the direction
more or less on their own.
Yeah, with very little input from the leadership team.
Yeah, I mean,
this was all their.
Yeah, a lot of the design process on Monday was just like, okay, we have this idea, so we have, you know, or like, well, I'll give you an example. Like, how do we want to move? Okay, so kids throw out suggestions, and it's just like, okay, so someone said they should pick a card. Someone said we should use a spinner. Someone said we should use a dice. Hands up for pick a card. Hands up for spinner. Hands up for dice. Okay, spinner wins. Mm-hmm. And away we go, right? So, yep. You know, you just a lot of, again, just a lot of dialogue, a lot of back and forth, people just shouting out ideas left, right, and center. It was really great. Mm-hmm. The Tuesday groups game, though, now, initially they wanted to build a Star Wars game. Obviously, I couldn't get it printed as a Star Wars game, but it was ludicrously easy to turn their idea into a game about, of all things, beavers. Mm-hmm. So this one's called Build the Dam. And again, pictures on the Facebook page and Twitter. This one's even... I think this actually might be the slightly more interesting game because it's a little bit more complicated mechanically. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea is you're wandering around a board, and periodically there are spaces on the board where you draw a card, and the card might be a stick. And if it's a stick, you want to keep, you know, if it's a stick, it's a good thing because you need the sticks to build the dam. Yep. And actually that's how you win, is whoever gets the most sticks safely back to these two white squares that are kind of in the middle of the board, mm-hmm. Or circles. They're circles, actually, not squares, whatever. But like if two beavers land on the same square, that are on the same space, mm-hmm. then they both roll the dice, and whoever rolls higher gets to steal a stick from the other guy.
Nice.
If you pick up, there's other stuff in the card deck that's in this game. So it's not just sticks. Like it could be an apple core or some other piece of garbage. Oh. And there's negative consequences for that. You know, might get bumped back a space or something like that, lose a turn. And the design for this was crazy because like Monday night, much more orderly. There was more of a dialogue, right? But it was mostly like I was the one with the pen and the big piece of paper, and I'm just scribbling down these ideas as the kids are coming up with them, or as we like vote and decide on different ways of doing things, right? Mm-hmm. Tuesday night, that's how it started. Mm-hmm. But after about 10 minutes, I had all but been bumped off the paper, and the kids themselves were just, you know, drawing all over it, scribbling down ideas, discussing amongst themselves. And we all just kind of sat back and watched. It was, you know, what was funny was that, you know, when we started working on this Build the Dam game, the kids had kind of intended to build it as a riff on Chutes and Ladders. Mm-hmm. There's not a single chute or a ladder anywhere on the board. Like it just morphed into something totally different.
You know why I'm laughing, right?
You better enlighten me.
Yeah, your grammatics in that last sentence. It was the build the dam game.
Oh,
yeah.
You can tell I've been hanging around beavers for such a long time now because I don't even get that anymore.
Yeah, no,
I'm so used to not, talking about
and it by rights, it's not even it's a non-issue, but that is funny. It was just like.
So, but yeah,
it was really cool.
But again, just, you know, that idea of, and again, I mean, this was totally like a youth, like this was, I think, the most youth led I've ever run the program because it was one of the beavers had suggested the topic.
Yep.
Once the kids got into it, they were totally in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, like we weren't. Not that there are badges, but it's not like we were working towards anything. I wasn't even looking to give them, you know, a campfire blanket badge. I mean, I'm happy that I got the games printed, you know.
And that's a great...
And that they can take one home at the end of it all.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it was just, here's a challenge. Like, let's figure out how to do this. Mm-hmm. And away we went with it. And did we learn some stuff? Yeah, I think we did. Is if we'd been doing this at the scout level, are there badge criteria that could be satisfied off of this? Absolutely. There's a lot of artistics. You know, there are badges for artistic stuff. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think there in BSA, there might even be a game design badge, and I think about it. although that does focus more on computers, but this would still qualify, I would hope. But, I mean, you know what? It was the challenge that, you know, first and foremost was our springboard into it. And the payoff has been just absolutely huge.
So. I think, and that would constitute as a youth development challenge as well, because I'm pretty sure that you have those kids that maybe were apprehensive, but, you know, once they got into it, they were just, they were all over the design and the, the rules or the, you know, the gameplay.
Yeah, they were.
And who would normally have just sat aside and probably not worried about any of that stuff?
No, that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's kind of the spirit of what Canadian Path is trying to capture, you know, is that they just want to, that whatever the activity is, should be something that challenges the youth, that engages the youth. And, you know, I mean,
this is that adventure component of the meeting. It's not like you went outside and did a high ropes course with a bunch of kids. You actually had a challenge, and it was develop a game, and away you went.
And I mean, yeah, you know, if we'd been doing with scouts, I'm sure that some of them could have easily come away with badges off of it. All of them could have, some of them would have, but it was, again, just, we did the challenge. And then it's up to the youth as individuals to say, okay, now what can, you know, like, oh, I can get a badge for that.
I think the difference, though, between a game that a beaver colony would develop versus the scout group would be in the gameplay, like how the game is actually rolled out. I don't think you would get the basic spin, move, collect. It would be, there would be a little more. There would, and it's all based on experiences too, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. Yeah, the scout group would probably try and come up with something more like Imperial Assault.
Yeah.
But
or maybe not. What's the other one where the miniatures are fighting and
Hero Quest?
Yeah, something like that.
Something a little more complicated. Yeah. You know what? That could be true too, or like a Monopoly-like game, or maybe a card game, right? I mean, invent a new card game.
Maybe we could throw that out as a challenge to scouters out there that, you know, have your scout troop come up with a board game.
Well, you know what? I will say this. You can't do it in one meeting.
No. Okay? Probably not.
But we took three. We needed at least three meetings to do it. We probably could have gone a fourth in each case.
Complete meetings?
Complete meetings. Hmm. The first meeting, all we did was play games.
Oh, okay. Yep.
We basically had tables set up, and we put the kids into groups, and we were just rotating them through as many games as we could, you know, 10 or 15 minute intervals. Mm-hmm. And the idea was, you know, it didn't matter if the kids didn't finish the game. We didn't want them to worry about finishing the game. Right. If they understood what the win condition for the game was, like, that was good.
Yeah.
But we wanted them to more, like, look at different games and their mechanics and, you know, what they're made up of and components and the rules and what makes this game different from that game. Okay. Things like that. Yep. So you need to spend some time just having that conversation. Mm-hmm. Then once you've kind of understood, okay, now, you know, what is a game? Well, I mean, a game has components, right? Like there's in a board game, there's a board and a dice or a spinner and some pieces you move around, and maybe there's cards that you pick up. Mm-hmm. What are the mechanics? You know, okay, well, I spin the spinner and then it gives me a number and I move this many pieces and, oh, but I landed on a special square. So what do I do when I land on a special square, right? Like, what are the mechanics? Yeah. What are the rules? Mm. You know, that define the limits of the mechanics. And what's the theme? Those were the big four.
Yeah.
So, you know, like here, they started it as their initial idea was a Star Wars game that they wanted people running around collecting lightsabers. Mm-hmm. Again, I can't send that away to get printed.
No.
But it was ludicrously easy to swap that theme for beavers trying to collect sticks to build a dam.
Right.
You know, mechanically, it's the same game, it's just a different theme. And then it's just, you know, the process of, one thing we did was, you know, in each case, And this is actually the point that the guys from BioWare made. It's just, you know, when we're trying to design something, we're not necessarily going to invent something new. Mm-hmm. That happens, but it's not that common.
Right.
We take something that someone has done and we just start changing it, you know, and we make it our own.
Why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, we make it suit our needs. And so, you know, in both cases, it was kind of a case of, well, like, okay, who knows? You know, we just sat down each night and just like, okay, everybody names a game.
Yep.
Everybody names a game. Mm-hmm. And then we just vote. Okay, who knows how to play this game? Who knows how to play this game? Who knows how to play this game? The game with the most hands, that was our template.
Mm.
And then they just start changing it to suit their needs. And like I say, with the Tuesday game, I mean, everybody knew snakes and ladders.
Yeah.
So that's what we started as. And within about 5 minutes, we had completely abandoned any pretense of having a chute or a snake or a ladder or steps or anything in the game. Like, it was just, it became its own thing. Took a little longer with the Monday game, but that happened there too.
Mm-hmm.
So, hear my eldest coughing again. So, you know, I guess if... it was a really rewarding challenge, and if anyone wants some guidance on how to run that with their troop, by all means, shoot an email, scoutingstuffpodcast@gmail.com. I don't think I can sell copies of these games, at least not to, you know, make money off of them, but if you're like, hey, that looks neat, like what would it cost to obtain a copy, I'd happily figure out a shipping cost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a print cost, and we could arrange something. But, yeah, if you do want some pointers on, you know, how to run that particular activity with your group, because it's really neat and fun, by all means, shoot an email in or, you know, like, at us on Twitter.
Yeah, I was going to say. Should they tweet you?
Yeah. Or some or people have even sent messages to the Facebook page.
Oh, yes.
And I do get those too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But anyways, yeah. By all means, get in touch. Love to hear from you. Happy to help out if this is a particular topic stream that you'd like to explore with your group as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're curious where I got it printed, I'll even let you in on that.
So I think we're pretty good. Have we touched on everything we wanted to?
I think we've touched on more than we intended to. So, yeah, we're doing all right.
Success.
Win.
potentially the contact stuff again, just so that...
Well, I mean, yeah, we have kind of dropped it all in there, but sure. Let's see. Facebook.com/scoutingstuffpodcast. Twitter.com/SSYSKpodcast. Because you only get like 15 characters. scoutingstuffpodcast@gmail.com. And of course the website is, scoutingstuffpodcast.com. Although I got to admit, that's probably going to change in the near to mid distant future. I'm having some new thoughts about like how to host the podcast and how to, how the website should be structured. So there may be some changes there if I can find time, but anyways,
we'll keep you posted.
We'll keep you posted
for now. go with what Scouter Ken has told you.
Yeah. And, just a personal request, please, leave us a review on iTunes. Would really appreciate seeing a few reviews on the iTunes. If you like what you hear. But, of course we're always happy to just receive your feedback. Any good kudos you want to send our way, by all means do.
I think that's it.
Yep, I think so. So
shall we call it?
I think so. So thank you. Thank you for listening.
Oh, any shout outs? Before we run away.
Oh, yeah.
Shout outs.
I don't actually have one. Do you?
I do, actually. Shout out to the curling team out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. The Cooey Rink, Kevin Cooey. This is curling, folks. So curling, for those that don't know, is hurl a 50-pound granite stone down a sheet of ice and try and get it closest to the bullseye at the other end. It's kind of like shuffleboard, but I don't like explaining it that way. It's more like free-faced rock climbing with no ropes. Yeah, that's what it's like. Anyways, the Cooey Rink, they won gold today at the World's Curling.
Nice.
So
Where was that held?
Oh, now you're calling me out on my knowledge of where it was held.
I don't know. I know they played Denmark.
Oh, okay.
And the final score was 5-3.
It's a good score.
So it was a hard-fought game, I would say. But it's hard to tell because those curlers have stone face. It's just like no expression whatsoever.
Yeah, it's just...
Don't play poker with a curler.
Apparently. Anyways, that is my shout out. So
awesome. Well, that's good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
It's always yay nice. Nice when the home team does well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you again for listening. This was a bit of a longer episode, but yes, thank you for listening. And until next time, be prepared.